Happy post 4th of July. I hope you had some great time with family and friends. I joined my neighbors, and there was too much food. I'm not a big eater, you know, but I dove in and made sure that I did justice. It was just a walking distance, so I just dragged myself home, you know. Yeah. The thing about food, you know, you eat all that food, and then a couple of hours later, you're hungry, you want to eat again, man. Yeah. And some of us can eat like wolves. I mean, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying some of us. Last week was kind of tough because we lost a dear brother, Barry Kenneth Hartz, who's been teaching the Sunday school I'm now teaching, passed away. And thanks to the church, thank you so much for being there on Wednesday for the meet and greet. Yesterday, his motto remains, "We lay to rest in Leodi, Kansas." I mean, that was just his motto remains. He's in heaven, you know, transition well into heaven. And I will miss Barry. I'll miss him. In fact, God first, but he's the reason why I'm in his church, you know, because he sought me out intentionally and joined his Bible study, his Sunday school group, and the rest is history. See me preaching here, something I never planned. But Barry is gone. The next thing that is exciting me and should be exciting you is that in a couple of months, you will hear D no more from behind this pulpit, because by the grace of God, that's our chair. Oh yes, Lord, please give us a pastor. May this guy come and rescue some of us. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll be reading from verse 19. I was tempted to read the entire passage, the entire chapter. And I know some of you wouldn't mind, but others of you would say, this guy is nuts. But the word of God. Verse 19, the word of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through the flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Without wavering. Unswervingly, some of your Bibles will say, for he who promised is faithful. Let us pray. Our Father, Almighty God, our sovereign Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Opportunity to worship. Opportunity to look in your word and glean some lessons that will help us, Father, in our walk with you. I pray this morning that your word will go forth with power by the Holy Spirit, that D. Walker will decrease and you will increase. In Jesus' name, amen. In one of my previous jobs, I used to travel a lot. And I was sitting at the airport gate, waiting for my flight, when I noticed a very big guy. It was not the guy that caught my attention, okay? It was the inscription on his t-shirt. And the inscription said, "My hope." This guy was like 6'3". For some reason, I would strike a conversation with anyone, anywhere, anytime. I do not see folks as strangers. I see them as people created in the image of God. And when I have an opportunity, I walk to them and say hi. I do that not at the airport alone, even at the mall, the grocery store. And sometimes, you know, when I try to greet someone, they act like they don't even hear me. And I say, "Hello. How are you doing?" Well, at least I tried. But I am not ashamed to meet someone to say hi. The worst that could happen is that they will ignore me, right? And I have a thick skin. That doesn't bother me. Say bye. But anyway, for some reason, I was not attuned or eager to do so with this guy. He looked rough. When I say rough, I mean rough. I wish I could paint a picture of him. But anyway, I decided to approach him. So I approached him and I said hi. And after all of the pleasantries, I asked him about the "My Hope" inscription on his t-shirt. With a smile that revealed nice white teeth, he said to me, "Aha, I got you." I was a little bit flabbergasted. What did he mean by "I got you"? So I asked him, "What do you mean?" Well, he said that the inscription on his t-shirt is a great conversation starter. And he got me because I was drawn to him by that inscription, and we started a conversation. He got me. Then he did an interesting thing that I will never, ever forget. Even when I'm lying dead in my grave, I'm going to forget that. He took out 4 t-shirts, different colors, but with the same inscription, "My Hope." I said, "Wow. So every t-shirt you have has my hope?" I said, "Talk to me about my hope." Then he says, "I want folks to know that in a world that is in turbulence, in a world that is experiencing difficulties and turmoil, I am anchored because my hope is in Christ. So I do all I can to help folks at the airport, at the football field, anywhere I am, for them to move their eyes, redirect their attention from all that is going around them, all the difficulties, to focus their hope on Jesus Christ. So he, Christ, is my hope." Hallelujah. Wow. I had on my Arsenal t-shirt. For those of you who are in English Premier League football, you know Arsenal is one of the great teams in England. You know, and I said, "Oh my gosh, I wish I had my hope too," you know. But don't mind me, I used my Arsenal t-shirt also as a conversation starter. So if a football fan, I mean, football, please. Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, soccer, anyway. I know you guys are watching me on TV, you say, "This guy is nuts." Yes, I'm nuts for Christ. Amen. Anyway, but that drew my attention. My hope. And even though I do not have data, because I would dare say that if you do a Google search The word hope will be found in a lot of Christians and non-Christian organizations' mission or vision statements. Because folks believe that what the world needs is hope. In fact, there's an organization called HOPE, Hope, Helping Other People Excel. Their focus is to bring hope to folks so that they can move them from the miry clay and put their feet on a solid rock. So today, I just want to share with us on the subject or the topic or the sermon title, whatever way you want to call it, Inspiration of Hope. I do not know how those who are without Christ live this life on a daily basis. When you put your hope on the stock market, you put your hope in your job, you put your hope in your family or your friends, you put your hope in something that is very temporal, and you're enjoying the so-called bliss of that hope that could be shattered in the twinkle of an eye. Because the Bible says life is like a mist. It's like a vapor. We are here today and we are gone tomorrow. And if you are without hope in Christ, your life is for eternal damnation. Hope has real power. I don't know what you are going through today. Whether you are feeling full of hope today or barely holding on, this message is for you and for me. Because the God whom we serve has promised us, and He is faithful. I will talk about that later. But the God whom we serve is a God of hope that never fails and never fades. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10 highlights Christ's work on the cross, that for Christ to replace the Old Testament sacrifices of lambs and bulls, He had to give His life for us. Now, the sacrifices in the Old Testament were done annually, and this reminded folks of their sin. But Christ's sacrifice on the cross was done once and for all. Amen? So we have hope in this Christ because He obliterated. In fact, the curtain was torn into two because He now is our hope. He's our sacrificial lamb. Let's drop our eyes down to Hebrews 10:23. Now that we know Jesus Christ is our sacrificial lamb, He's the one who was sacrificed once and for all, the author of Hebrews now invites us with several letters. And one of the letters is found in verse 23. He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering," without swerving, unswervingly. "For He who promised is faithful." A couple of things I want us to look at here. The power of hope. The power of hope. And this hope is in Christ. Notice what the author says. He says, "without wavering." Other Bible translations say, "unswervingly," which means steadily. Be steady. There is a steadiness of our hope in Christ. Amen? We must not be unsteady in our confidence, or else we'll lose hope. This letter is an invitation. Christ invites us through the author of Hebrews to put our confidence in God. There's something I moved from my study, from my script, and that is doing a study on the letters. And it is quite interesting what that reveals. One of the revelations of the letters is that we do not live this Christian life on an island. We are a group of believers. One of the reasons why you didn't stay home, you could have. One of the reasons why you meet in different small groups is because this Christian life is called to be lived as brothers and sisters. Amen? In fact, it says in verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have, you are invited as a member of the body of Christ to come and have faith in God's hope. So we are to come in steadiness. As humans, it is easy for us to be fretful, to be scared, to be afraid. On our way from Florida last week, we were jetting into Denver airport when the pilot made an announcement over the intercom. Says, oh, we've been redirected because there is a thunderstorm in Denver. The words had not finished from this guy's mouth when the plane started doing like something like this, and it starts shaking and moving. My wife was sitting next to me. Oh Lord, she's going to hear this. She was shaking like a leaf. Cover her head, grab my hand, and then I look across from me. There was a lady with 3 kids. Oh my gosh. If you've experienced turbulence, you know it can be terrible. For some reason, I was cool and calm. I was cool and calm, you know? And something just came to my mind. I started thinking about Barry Hertz. The guy was prepared to meet his father. And I said, God, there's nothing I can do up here. If anything happens, you call me home, I'm ready to go. And I've said that several times in my life, even in civil war in my country, where an AK-47, an M16 was pointed at me several times. And I said, Lord, if you're ready to take me home, I'm ready. Because you know what? My hope is steadfast in the Lord. And not only steadiness, but strength. Hope is what gives us strength daily. Hope gives us the ability to stay strong in the midst of difficulties. Why are we strong in our hope? It's because our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is embedded in the character of God. Amen? And let's talk a little bit about the character of God. In Psalm 46:1, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. That verse encapsulates the following about the character of God. He is present, he is protective, and dependable in and out of life's challenges. What a God we serve. He is present, he is protective, And he is dependable. And then in Habakkuk 3:19, we read, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. What is the character of God? The character of God we see here is that he is empowering, giving stability and agility even in difficult circumstances. Are you catching the drift here about the character of God in whom our hope should reside? And then finally about the character of God, Isaiah 40, 28 or 29. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. What is the character we see here? Our God is eternal, all-purposeful, and unchanging. So you see why our hope in this God whose character is stable, solid, rock solid, should give us strength to persevere in difficult times. Hope in God inspires and keeps people from quitting. I will not quit. From giving up. No wonder the writer of Hebrews says, when he refers, he says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. So we see that hope is powerful. That's what inspires us. But not only that, secondly, we see the promise of hope. Look in your verse again with me. The Bible says, the Word of God, for he who promised is faithful. The promise of hope. Who's the he who promised? You see, hope is not based on what we decide we would like to see. It's based on the realness and the realities of God himself. So do we know that we can stand on the promises of this God, this Christ, who is our hope? Our Savior Jesus Christ was born a baby, experienced our entire humanity, but yet lived a sinless and righteous life. I would rather trust and hope in that person than in any other person. In my part of the world, there are several tribes, nations, that have transitional rituals. One of the rituals is to transition a boy into a man. So, in one of the tribes, what they do is this. After all the elders have had their conversation, they will have several guys, young boys, that they will take into the forest and leave them there. But this one father, before the boy was unleashed, was sent into the forest, said to him, I want you to go into that forest and come back as a boy, but come back out as a man. And I will be here waiting for you. I will be here to ensure that you are safe. I will protect you. That's my promise. And this kid was let go into the wild. One of the things we learn from that ritual is that this son who was sent into the wild trusted his father. That his father would be there if any wild animal should come out, his father would protect him. His father will be there for him. So with a sense of the promised presence, a sense of the promised protection of his father, this young man moves into the wild. What can we learn from this? If a son can trust his earthly father to keep his promise of his presence and protection, what about us Christians who serve the powerful God? Who serve the Savior who keeps his promises? That's why we can sing, standing on the promises of God. In those times when we can't see the Father, in those times when we feel like we are alone, we must learn to put our hope in him because he's always there for us. Amen? And then secondly, not only that he's a powerful Savior, the verse says he is faithful. He is a faithful Savior. And please note the emphasis for hope is not on you. It is on him who promised and is faithful. If hope was determined by our sheer will, each of us will be in trouble. But the guarantee that makes our hope rock solid is the fact that all that is promised is based upon the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and his work, not ours. There's a fellow who was hopeless. He almost gave up in life. Things were not going his way. So he said, you know what, let me go to church. He came to church several times, sat with people, but no one paid him heed. He went home and wanted to take his life. But then the Spirit of God intervened. And in reflection, he said, if one person at the church had greeted him or smiled at him, he would not have attempted taking his life. Brothers and sisters, this kind of silent, invisible hopelessness that is growing all around us, where people are surrounded by a crowd but feel completely alone and unseen. The work among us, they go to work, they sit with us in the church or live next door, carrying with them silent burdens and asking silent questions. Does anyone see me? Would it matter if my life was taken away today? The world offers distractions, false comforts, shallow affirmations, but not hope. Or not the hope that we confess. Not the kind of hope that holds us through the night. If others do not see what you're going through, remember, Christ sees. He sees the person that no one greets. He hears the thoughts that no one speaks. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe it's financial issues. Maybe it's job. Maybe it's family. I don't know.
I know what I'm going through.
I know. And the only thing that gets me through is my unshakable hope in God. I don't know if you noticed the songs we sang today. The word faithful, promise, hope were all intertwined in the lyrics of the songs. When we can face life and death with hope, because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, we know that we serve one who is faithful. The scripture teaches us that we can endure all things through Christ, who gives us hope. The greater the object of hope, the greater the hope in enduring whatever comes your way. And there's nothing greater, there is no one greater than Jesus Christ himself. Amen? Hope is very powerful and a very real thing. When people lose hope, they lose the ability to continue, to believe that life has a meaning. When people lose hope, life does not mean anything to them. If you and I will go through life victoriously, resting on the promises of our powerful Savior, our faithful Savior, because he who promised will keep his promise. My prayer for each of us this morning is that we'll lean on him, is that we'll hope in him, that no matter what we are going through, we'll be inspired by the hope that we find in Jesus Christ, so that we can inspire other people. There's a lot of hopelessness out there. After service, first service today, four young men, they were waiting for me. I was greeting some other folks. And I'm just like, why are these young men waiting? They came to talk to me. And one of them has been going around looking for a church. And I told him, this is your church. Come back and mingle. And I said, we have a very good student ministry here. Brothers and sisters, as I conclude, people are looking for hope. People are in distress. Without Jesus Christ, without faith and hope in Christ, their lives are meaningless. Many years ago, as the Civil War raged on, I was asked to pastor the missionary church. And I told the missionaries, I was not called to be a pastor. People miss the two. One, the gift of preaching, and the call to be a pastor. You got some good preachers who would be lousy pastors. Well, I was like the one-eyed man in the land of the blind. So I accepted. I said I would wait for 2 years. The second year came and passed, and they were not looking for a pastor. I entered my third year, and then I protested. I said, it is time for each of you to find a pastor for this church. But one thing the Lord did through me and my wife, and that revolutionized the culture of the church. So every time you come to church, I know you have plans. Some of you want to rush for lunch. But what we did, I said after service, Before you leave the church, find one person you've never seen, one person maybe you've never met. Introduce yourself to them and get to know them. That revolutionized the culture of the church in such a way that there were no strangers in the church. One person knows one person who knows another person who knows someone. I want to challenge you here today. As we rest our hope in Christ, before you leave from here today, I'm going to be standing by the door watching. I'm kidding, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But find someone. You don't know what someone is going through here today. Find someone. And if you're listening to me, watching me, call someone. Reach out. As you are inspired by hope in Christ, you be an inspiration of hope in others. Let us keep hope alive. Thank you.